Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Too Many Trailers, the podcast where we talk about movie trailers. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Kelsey.
And today we've got some good trailers.
I mean, okay, they were good. We will discuss. We'll get into it later. No worries.
We're going to talk about all of our feelings
yes.
for both of these trailers.
No, as we usually do.
As is the point of this podcast.
Yeah.
So good job for us.
Why can't we ever, like, make it like a... Well, no, okay, that's a lie. We have made a few episodes, a small handful, where they're, like, a streamlined opening.
Where we don't just ramble or, like, sometimes have to restart or
right.
every time have to restart.
Like, 4 or 5 times.
I would say every time I edit... I would say 9 times out of 10, I'm editing out the first full minute.
Oh, absolutely.
Because we have to restart.
Yeah. But we're keeping this in.
Yes, because this is important information for people to know. We are
working
on it. We are not this good.
We are transparent. We're a transparent podcast. We're very clear and make sure everyone's knowing what they're doing.
I really like that you're giving the explanation for the word transparent.
Some people might not know.
It's true.
I'm not gonna just be like, words, and they're not gonna be like, what's this? 0 stars.
0 stars. This podcast uses words that are too big. They're using freaking SAT
words. Oh, remember those books that, like, at, like, Borders that you
yes.
would get that, like, had the SAT words, like, and they would have, like, the description to the side?
Yes. Those were terrible.
Oh,
also...
God, that was a sentence. You remember those books at Borders?
Yeah, I was
a company that does not exist.
And also...
Anyway, we have 2 great trailers for you today.
We do! So we have trailers for the film The Kitchen.
And the other film is Where'd You Go, Bernadette, based on the book by the same name.
And I think The Kitchen is based off of a comic book
series.
It is.
I think by Vertigo Comics, I want to say?
Yes. And we'll talk about the writers when we
yes.
get into the behind the trailer.
Absolutely. So, now that you've heard us weirdly ramble on for a few minutes or so, do you want to jump right into the behind the trailer facts for The Kitchen?
We might as well.
We might as well. All right. So, for The Kitchen, I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
I was like, that's a way.
It is a way. So, for The Kitchen, the director is Andrea Berloff.
She's also one of wrote the screenplay.
Yes.
She wrote Straight Outta Compton.
I'm sorry. What?
I looked this up on IMDb. And immediately sent it to Kelsey, underlined and highlighted, and I was like, did anyone expect this? And I was floored, and then I had to go read all the facts for Straight Outta Compton. It was written by all white people.
What?
Did you know this?
No.
Did people know this? I didn't know this.
I didn't know. I mean, I knew that it was, like, a good movie.
Yes, and I know that people really were happy with the film in general and things like that, but I... was not
that's
aware.
That's, like, kind of, like, the equivalent of, like, a white person saying, yeah, I've listened to, like, 1 Wu-Tang Clan album. That's what it seems like to me.
Right.
You know? Like,
yeah.
It's like...
I was like, why are you talking about other people's experiences?
Yeah.
Because, like, if we're going to write something that's really authentic,
shouldn't
why
it?
Isn't it being written by the people that actually experienced this?
Yeah.
And then
as I was reading
IMDb, I was like, am I being punked? Like, it's like...
Is it April Fool's again?
What is happening?
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, that was... It was... Yeah.
So, like Marianne said, the screenplay is also by Andrea Berloff, but it's based off the comic book series by Ollie Masters and Ming Doyle.
The composer for The Kitchen is Bryce Dessner, and he has done some films, nothing that I really knew.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that... I could kind of see from the little image on IMDb that had a more popular, I say in quotation marks, actor was the pretty recent film, The Professor, but it had Johnny Depp, who we don't like. But I was like, that's the only
yeah.
like recognizable name I
right,
could find
exactly.
there.
All right, so let's get into the cast. And I do have to say, between this film and the next one that we're talking about, the trailers, I should say. Not to, like, put down the other films in terms of their cast, but it's so weird to see, like, such a big, like, big name cast, you know? It's so different, yeah. You know? It's so, because most movies that, like, at least we do here.
Right.
I mean, I don't know half the people, honestly.
I know, and I feel like we often try to do, like, we do the big blockbusters, but we also do a lot of the smaller, more indie films, which is why we spent a lot of time at our independent movie theater lately.
Mm-hmm.
Which is wonderful and so great.
I love it. Please never go away.
It is surprising sometimes to get a movie that isn't going to be one of those huge blockbuster movies, but that's kind still like, pretty packed with
like an
really
in-between, like
great
an in-between era, essentially.
Yeah.
I think I would also consider like The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. and an in-betweener film, like not totally super blockbustery, however, still has like huge names. Or I think it was like Lost City or something with Russell Crowe and like Mark Wahlberg. Again, not a blockbuster, but still like had recognizable names like in the film. So I would consider like kind of like this because it's like the story itself isn't like shoot 'em up, but it is crime based. However, it is not your typical cast and not your typical film, and it kind of just like ends up straight in the middle. So the cast today for The Kitchen is Elizabeth Moss, Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, Domhnall Gleeson, Jeremy... Oh, Marion Hanza!
It's not a Rainbow Connection, though. Man. I just have a point. Do you know who Domhnall Gleeson is?
Yep. So he's been in Star Wars. He's also been in About Time. He's been in Harry Potter.
He's Bill Weasley.
Oh, in Harry Potter? Oh, yeah. I know him from, like, Ex Machina. He's amazing in Ex Machina.
Why do you... you know him from all the critically acclaimed films, and I'm over here like, and I'm the one over here like, he was in Harry Potter, which I've watched 84 times, and Kelsey's like, come on.
No, I am a film snob, and you know this about me.
I know.
But also, he's in Star Wars, like.
What's more important to you in your life, Star Wars or Harry Potter? Oh, God. Civil War.
We're going to move right on from that question.
Yep.
We have Jeremy Bob Common, James Badge Dale, Margot Martindale, my favorite character actress, Rob Yang, Bill Camp, and Brian D'Arcy James. There are, like, so many more. I just kind of pulled some out. Margot Martindale, she's, like, a really, like, she's been in a lot. She's, and she's also been, I think she was in, like, BoJack Horseman as Margot Martindale, because she's just, like, that weirdly recognizable as, like a film person. Ta-da!
All right. Should we go right into the discussion?
I think so. It's a good idea.
All right.
All right, so, okay.
Do you want to start with a really basic note from me that's going to make you probably laugh at me?
Absolutely.
So this kitchen movie is about Hell's Kitchen. That's important to know before you start.
Yeah, and I think
Knew nothing about this.
Me
Kelsey
either.
Was just like, the kitchen. Or
I just knew that like Melissa McCarthy was like not playing a funny, quote-unquote funny role. Like, none of them are, but...
But I didn't know that it... I don't know if you're just drinking.
So,
I didn't know that it wasn't going to be about chefs. Or cooking. I
well,
didn't know what
the
fucking
whole,
name of it is.
The whole thing
the
is a play off of gender roles, though.
Dude, I didn't know. Before I watched this trailer, I had no idea. I was like, it's called The Kitchen. Who knows?
It's about chefs.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay. I get it.
That's why I figured I'd open with this, get it out of the way.
I mean, valid. So it's not about chefs, if that's what you're thinking. It is a...
It's not related to cooking.
Absolutely not. It's a 1970s gangster crime film set in New York City.
Large difference.
Very big difference.
But set in Hell's Kitchen.
Which is a interesting part of the city.
Not anymore.
No.
I feel
I
like
back then, absolutely.
But in that point of time, you know, they always portrayed New York City as this dark, terrible, terrible
place.
Well,
it was like part of like always like, I mean, back in the day, like, I mean, New York City was not the greatest place.
You know, because unless you lived in very specific good areas.
Yeah. Like, it was a parts of Queens or, like, parts of Manhattan-ish. Yeah, not yeah. even.
Well, like, there have always been, like,
bad parts.
Nice parts of
Manhattan. Right, exactly. But I'm saying, like, Times Square was not what it is now, right, essentially. Right. Like, if you...
And that whole area. Like, you can walk very comfortably from, like, through Hell's Kitchen now.
Right.
Fine.
I can, as a white person, yes. Absolutely. You know, I mean...
But I mean, like, I walk through it at night as a young female
that's
person.
That's also very true. I mean, that's felt fine. Same. I mean, I'm also a young female person, but also, political aside, agreed. Yes. But, like, I mean, like, New York used to be, like, really bad. Right. It used to be, like, very riddled with crime in terms of, like, mob and unorganized crime, I would say. Or organized crime.
Which is why they... Gotham is New York City.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And so... So it's, like, it's really... Going back to what New York City used to be. I mean, you also see that in, like, the subway scene with Tiffany Haddish when she's on the subway. Those are what the subways, like, used to look like. New York City used to be, like, this, like, really, like, crummy place, essentially. And that's what it's bringing it back to. But to me, do we need the first 10 seconds of this part? Like, I understand, like, what they're doing in terms of, like, comic book nests and trying to be like, oh, this is like the what you would like open up to. So you would get the city, you would get, you know, New York City 1978 Hell's Kitchen. Like, I understand what they're doing.
I enjoyed that.
I did to a point. Just
I felt like it was fine to have it. They had it right at the beginning. They weren't interspersing it more or anything like that. I was like, no, this is good. I feel very oriented.
Okay.
Because, like, sometimes you can pick up on, like, a time era, like, an era, but sometimes you can't exactly.
Right.
So it was good to be a little bit more grounded.
Like, a little bit more, like, hey, this is where you are, just FYI.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they dropped a lot about being in around the city, like, in around New York City,
right.
So you knew that part, but I felt like,
at least
for
like
title-wise, it was nice to, like, pull
in,
but they didn't need it, but the time was very helpful.
The time, no, I'm not, yeah, the time was very important, I feel like, because it is such a, it looks like to be a movie that's, like, very rooted in its time era.
Yeah.
Like, the time itself, like, the, being in the 70s is, like, the character of the film, of itself. So, like, it makes sense as to why they did it. Maybe they just could have not put it in big black bold letters being like 1978 Hell's Gate. I'm like, okay, like, I got it, but maybe in the film it'll just be like little typewriter like on the left side of the screen so they can,
and they might not even have it for the film,
right?
You know what I mean? Or like they might do it a different way for the film. I think for the trailer I didn't mind it very much
generally. Yeah,
like I didn't really mind it because that was the only time they like interrupted.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
Except for when they did the credits for the people, but
that
was cool.
But
that
was cool.
I
liked the credits, and it was well done because it
was comic style.
Yeah, it was comic style, and it worked with the trailer. The stylistic choice was, like, very in tune. It wasn't like, it was like Tiffany Haddish with, like, sparkles or some shit like that.
Right.
It was like, this is what we're doing. Like, it was very consistent, which I did enjoy. If you didn't know, this is a cop drama. Like, it is...
Surprise!
It is so Law and Order to me. Like, it is, like, very, like, we have the good guys, and we have the bad guys, and we have the morally gray people. Mm-hmm. And then we have, like the cops and the robbers and
blah, guess blah, blah. What? Everybody's a little bit morally gray.
Right, exactly. How did you feel about the New York accents? Did you feel it was just like, we are in New York? Like, it was very, very, like, it was New York. Especially, like, Donald Gleason's. I was like, oh, buddy, tone it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very, like, we're from New York and we have these accents because we're from New York and we're crime people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was very notable being like, oh, you're putting on a show. Granted, again, just a trailer. I might just get engrossed into it, but it's in the film. However, it was just, like, very in my face.
It was a lot.
It was very much a lot.
Yes. When Melissa McCarthy was talking, I was like, hello, that's not your normal voice.
Yeah, exactly. Especially when she was, like, talking to her kids. She's like, yeah, it was very like, oh, you are acting right now.
you are acting. I like, speaking of Melissa McCarthy, though, just in general, I love her in a non-comedic role.
Love it.
Like, we talked about that for Can You Ever Forgive Me, but bringing it back to that, I love when we really see the other side of the range of her acting.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And really remember that, oh, shit, she's really talented.
Oh, she's an actress. That's
yes.
Right.
and Tiffany Haddish, too. She doesn't really get an opportunity to do a lot of serious roles either. So.
At all. I mean, like, in her, like, comedy roles, there are serious parts, like, serious,
right.
like, nuggets that you can find.
But however, she doesn't get any straight serious roles.
Which I think this will very much show her abilities.
Yes.
That she can act.
Yes.
Which I'm very excited about because I really hope this means that she'll be, like, expanding
mm-hmm.
her, not so much view, but, like, her roles and maybe,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
getting to some more really serious stuff, which I'm very excited to see that.
Me too.
See that, like, different side of her acting.
Yeah. So those two, very excited about. Elizabeth Moss, I'm always kind of like, meh.
Yeah, I
take
mean,
you, leave you.
She is really, really good in terms of, like, close-up.
Yeah.
Acting in terms of, like, The Handmaid's Tale.
Right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
she is a good actress, but, again, we've seen her
she's
in serious
doing the
roles.
She's same role that she's
but
done
But I feel
before.
Like this might be more of a comedic role for her, because
mm-hmm.
she's playing, like, the quote-unquote dumb blonde
yes.
character.
Yeah.
So I feel like this might be, like, different
stretching
for her. Exactly. Like, just in the opposite direction.
Yeah. Which is going to be interesting to, you know, have that, like, dichotomy of, like, here's this person that normally plays very serious roles,
right.
and here are these people that are generally in these very comedic roles,
exactly.
and let's flip them.
Right, because you could have easily had Melissa McCarthy playing Elizabeth Moss's role. Just, you know. There's a lot of fade-outs. I just want to bring that up yet again. Yeah. I just plead to you, to all the editors that are not listening to this. Please, for the love of God, cool it on the fade-outs. It's okay to have a hard cut in a trailer. You're not gonna, like, ruin anything for me, personally. I am pleading to you.
On behalf of myself.
On behalf of myself, maybe Marianne, I'm not sure. However, please, for the love of God, cool it on the fade-outs.
Thank you. Love
Thank
Kelsey.
You. Much love. Warm regards. Kelsey.
So this as a whole reminded me, like, content wise of a mix of Widows, American Hustle,
yes,
and Ocean's 8.
Yes, absolutely.
I was watching and I was like, oh, this is exactly like this. This is a
yeah.
It was a good mix of those.
Yeah,
things.
Absolutely.
Like, it took a lot of the strength.
Like, the good parts of each, like, film.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, very much content-wise, it was very similar to Widows and American Hustle.
Yeah.
And then very similar to Ocean's 8 in terms of, like, having the female...
The female group together.
The female group in charge of something that... Of, like, illegal scheming.
Exactly. Yeah.
Things. I really liked the quote. There were two quotes that really I liked a lot. One of them was the one that Melissa McCarthy says at the table with her kids.
Yes.
She says, beauty's just a tool that women use.
Yes, absolutely.
And I was like, whoa, I like it.
I like it because it, like, it understands the concept of, like, what it's trying to do, like, of the film. Like, obviously, like, it has its roots in comics, so there's the writing behind it.
Yep.
However, I like that quote so much because of the fact that it relates to the mobster effect of it, where
yes.
it's like they're trying to not so much honeypot
mm-hmm.
them, but trying to use it as, like, something against.
Yeah.
You know, rather than, you know, they're working with what they have, essentially.
Yeah. And then the other quote that really stood out to me was at the beginning, when Melissa McCarthy is trying to get a job, and the guy says, most companies don't want mothers, or
yes.
don't want to hire mothers. I was like,
ooh.
I was like, and she, like, gets up, and she, like, is like, you don't know
exactly
what what I really am or whatever. And I was like,
smash the patriarchy. I hate it so much.
Flipping tables for 100 years. Because that's really good. And I think that that is a good, like, line to really envelope this film, or at least from what we're seeing, that this is from the trailer as a whole.
Yes.
Of the idea of mothers and the idea of women, like, and their
matriarchy.
Role in the family, and not only in...
Because there could be, like, more than one type of family.
Right. Only in, like, an actual, like, nuclear, like, blood family, but also in the, like, idea of what,
like,
family means in, like, mobs and gangs.
Yes, exactly.
And, like, what that means. Because
you have, like, the father of, like, the mob, but you also have this other side, which we don't see, where they're just as important of the mother of the mob being like, I'm going to protect you, but you have to do this to me to protect you. Whereas it's more of a maternal instinct rather than being like, I'm going to fucking kill you if we don't do this.
Right. And the idea of, like, the role of wives in a gang
mob is
also, like, a
big part. We don't see that a lot in a lot of crime films. However, in, like, Goodfellas, I think there is a little bit of it because of it's, like, I'm going to, like, the wife is like, well, I'm married to you, so I can protect you as well because I cannot stand on trial for you because we're married.
Right.
Like, there's the legality sense of it as well. I think that was, like, a little bit part of it, too, so I might have to rewatch it.
Yeah. And in some other, like, films or TV, you see the idea of, like, the women, when the women all get together and, like, how they talk to each other to make sure that they're protecting each other as well.
Like, it's, like, they're, like, in TV shows, like, it's, like, obviously, like, we're gonna not pit the women against each other. Like, it's a little bit forced, but I feel like this is more of a natural, like, no, we gotta stay protected with each other because if we don't, we're screwed. I feel like there's a little bit more, like, high stakes with this because I feel like the women are getting targeted by the other mobsters more. At least that's what they're showing us. I don't know. So I feel like that's going to be more of a balance that they have to try and, like, get, being like, we're going to be, like, the mothers to these moms, but we also have to understand, we also have to protect ourselves.
Right.
Because we're in a little bit more dangerous position. In my honest opinion, the first, like, solid minute of, like, the second half of the trailer was phenomenal. I loved the quotes used. I loved the music used. I loved
the
like, the editing was really good. I just feel like the first was, like, such an introduction to everything. It was a lot that was going on. I felt like we really didn't need it. I felt like a lot of the scenes could have been edited into the, like, the second half of the trailer, maybe been a little bit more... Rather than laying, like, we're totally creating a world about this and we're going to introduce you to everyone.
It was very exposition heavy.
Exactly. And I felt
like
it didn't need that because I feel like we're going to get that in the film. Like,
and
we're going to, like, the first maybe 20 minutes is just going to be explaining these people who they are.
Yeah.
And explaining their roles.
It made it feel long.
Yeah. And, like, if you watch it from, like, literally, like, minute 104 on of the official first trailer... It is so free-flowing. It doesn't feel long at all. It feels very concise. I feel like they had two ideas, and they were just like, oh, fuck, we gotta put it together.
Right, and then they were like, oh, shit, do they need background?
Yeah,
here, let's put in
some more. Exactly, because I feel like someone was like, well, no one's gonna understand this, because no one's read this. So I feel like...
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't read it, but I still felt like there was a lot going on in the first minute, and then the second half was, like, really, like, strong in terms of music and just cohesiveness.
Yeah.
And then when they were counting the money and Melissa McCarthy, that was a really funny
moment.
That
was a good, like, funny
ending. It was
a
good just ending to make it, like, a little lighter, being like, hey, remember this, it's gonna be a little lighthearted. There might be, like, points of jokes. He's like, wait. Gotta count again. That's me at work. Gotta go. It's like, guys, do not talk to me when I'm, like, counting money.
When I'm trying to count. Shut up.
Yeah. Any other notes? No?
No, I'm good. You good?
I am pretty good.
All right. So, Kelsey, based on this trailer, would you see this film? Theaters? Netflix? Never?
I might, like, see it on a Bargain Tuesday. Mm. You know, I feel like it's one of those good films just to see in the middle of the week, just being like, I don't know what to do. Let me just go to the movies type of film. Right. And I feel like because it's very stylistic in choice, I feel like it'd be beneficial to see it in theaters just to have that, like, optic experience. I mean, but if I miss it, I'm not going to be, like, super mad about it.
Like, I don't want to go see it on the weekend, but I'm also not going to rush to see it the first.
Right, exactly. Like, maybe, like, the second week if I have nothing to do and if it's, like, there and there's nothing else good playing, then I'll probably see it. How about you?
I probably won't see it in theaters. Like, I do agree, like, stylistically it'll look better in theaters, but there's nothing really from this trailer necessarily. Like, I like parts of it. I really like Melissa McCarthy. I really like Tiffany Haddish. I like the idea of it. But there's nothing really specifically plot-wise or anything that's really pulling for me to go see it.
I feel like maybe because I love a good heist movie, like this
will...
I love a good heist movie. I feel like it's like kind of up my alley, plus like it's from a comic book, so they're like their plot's kind of already in place and
the layers are adding on
the
of
layers,
why you can see it.
Yeah, exactly. So there's like there are reasons for like why I would see it, but I can understand why you wouldn't. It's really like not up your alley. I mean, unless like someone's in a relationship. I mean, I'm so sorry to say.
No, this is good. This is exactly how I use it.
I literally,
just my mind.
Like,
I honestly think
that if there was a...
If
Melissa
there
was
McCarthy
a, there was
or
a lesbian
one of them
relationship,
was dating, was married to a,
female,
another person that...
Another person who identifies as a woman.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sure. I think you would probably be more interested in it.
About 100%
because
more. just a small
100%. That's just, like, how I would feel about you saying that.
Yep.
I'm glad you agree.
That was just about the most accurate thing that's ever been said.
Yeah, I would think so. All right. So we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to... You'll hear us in, like, 2 seconds, but then we're going to come back to discuss...
Where'd you go, Bernadette?
Great. Talk to you soon. And welcome back to... the episode, I was going to be like, welcome back to too many trailers.
I mean, you could have.
I mean, I could have, but I didn't. And now we're here.
Here we are.
Here we are.
All right, so we hope you enjoyed your very small break. And we are back to talk about the trailer for Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
Great.
All right.
All right.
Should we jump right into some behind the trailer facts?
I think so.
All right.
So the director is Richard Linklater.
He is also one of the writers.
Yes.
And he also wrote and directed Boyhood.
That's where I know him from.
And when I was scrolling way back, Dazed and Confused.
Oh my God.
I was like, well, that is a range.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because of the fact that Boyhood literally took 12 years to make.
Yeah.
So it makes sense why he like has like such a...
He's like aged and like...
Right. Has a very...
Progressed.
Yeah, exactly.
Growth.
All right, so the writers are, like we just said, Richard Linklater. We also have Holly Gent and Vincent Palmson.
Yeah. So those two have worked together on other screenplays, but nothing big.
And then the book, it's based off a book by Maria Temple, which I have read. And we are having red flashing lights and waving arms. I think that means we have a rainbow connection.
We have two in this from the
magical
show. So this is very small, but Maria Semple, who wrote the book, also wrote several episodes of The Ellen Show. Ellen.
Oh, there we go.
I was like, because I was looking through her things, and I was like,
Ellen!
Your show! Wait!
That's amazing.
That happened.
Is that all?
For that.
Oh,
although
okay.
The other one is a cast member.
Okay.
So the composers for the film are, there's two, again, we're in this trend
oh my
of
God.
Having two composers. And again, similar to last time, there was, there's one senior kind
yes.
of composer who has a lot more credits and one who has a lot less. Graham Reynolds has about 54 composing credits. I really don't know any of the things that he's done. I literally looked through everything and I was
do
like,
do you have any
I
names?
Know
So I was going to write some down, but then I didn't know if any of them were more significant than other ones, so I didn't know where to start. So
what's his name again?
Anything down. Graham Reynolds.
Yeah, not ringing a bell.
And then Sam Lipman is the more, like, junior, less credited thing. He's done, he has, like, 14 composing credits.
Just 14.
But okay. I mean, like, compared to some of our people that are, like, hundreds.
Like Hans Zimmer or Alan Silvestri.
Alan Silvestri. God, I love him. he's just such a wonderful composer, and it just makes my heart
and
so
that's
happy.
All I want to know about him, all right?
That's it.
That's,
I don't need anything
please
else.
Just stop
keep,
it there.
Keep making your music, and we're good. Sam Lipman has done about, like, 14 things, and, but again, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing, like, that I really noticed as significant, and nothing that connected to Graham Reynolds that
okay.
I saw either.
Is this trend of, like, the older and younger, is that, like, this, like, whole, like, are we getting back into, like, mentorships again?
I don't know. It would be
I
cool.
Hope so.
Because I think it's a great idea.
I
like,
think it's
to work
fantastic.
To really, like, help build up the skills of the younger
other people.
Generations.
Right.
And the newer to the field.
Right. And I think that
to the
it,
industry.
Especially in such a difficult process of composing.
Right. And in such a difficult, like, industry to work in.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Hollywood, make more mentorships in films happen, please.
And stop being terrible.
The more you know.
Do, 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 do.
All right, so let's get into the cast. So we have Cate Blanchett, Judy Greer, Kristen Wiig, Troyan Bellarosio, and we have Hands Up, Stop. We have a Rainbow Connection.
All right, so Troyan Bellarosio.
Just pause. I saw that name. I was like, Marion's gonna talk about her. I bet.
I love Troyan Bellarosio. She's so wonderful and such a great actress. So, if you don't know who she is one of the main cast members from Pretty Little Liars.
That's what I thought. Yes.
So, like, not you know the greatest example of acting skills in the entire world, but what it did bring for the world. Was a shit ton of gay people. it had so many queer women, queer female characters on that show. It was became ridiculous at a point. I was like, what? I was like, besides like the L word and like Orange is the New Black, this is probably the most queers on
it's
the
like
show.
It's like third on the scale.
I could probably
fourth,
count a
yeah.
different point and post it, don't worry. It's all part of a slideshow I always have put together just in case. So, on the show, there's a bunch of gays. But then in real life, Ashley Benson, who was in Pretty Little Liars as well,
uh-huh.
who played Hannah, she's the blonde one,
yes.
Is gay in real life.
Oh,
and
right.
she's dating Cara Delevingne.
Oh my god, that's her?
Yeah.
With the sex swing? Hysterical. My favorite fucking photo online.
Yes, yes,
okay.
that one. And also the one where if you saw that Cara Delevingne spoke recently about, like, the coming out process
right.
and being with, and then it was about Ashley Benson.
Right.
And also referred to her by her nickname that she calls her, which is Sprinkles, which is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I mean...
Kelsey, like, leant to the microphone to say something, was like, I can't even say anything
because it's just, it's pretty gay.
It's pretty fucking
gay.
So, yeah, Troyan Bellarosio's dad is also a producer and director for a lot of TV shows, and I
mm-hmm.
can't remember his first name, but he does a lot of, like...
Mr. Bellarosio.
Bellarosio.
Bellarosio, Mr. Bellarosio.
But,
great.
That's the end of my Rainbow Connections.
It's a beautiful Rainbow Connections.
Thanks, I try.
So we have Lawrence Fishburne.
I love Lawrence Fishburne.
He is a gift to this world.
He really is.
We have Billy Crudup, my favorite name this week. Johannes Hakker Johansson, very
when
Icelandic.
When Kelsey pulls out, like, the European...
That's how you know I'm white. Claudia Dumit, Zoe Chow, and Kate Easton. Again, this is a pretty large cast, so
yeah.
I just pulled out names that could be great, which are great. Like, Johan Huska Johansson.
How long did you work on that for?
2 minutes.
A solid 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
All right. Let's jump right in.
All right. So we open up on the trailer with, like, a simple family, mom, dad, child who's in eighth grade, and she is like, so, okay, before I go forward, I read the book.
Okay, I did not.
Yeah, so there's a lot of information that is actually not said in either of the trailers that they showed.
I have stuff to talk about.
Okay,
that too, though.
Yeah, yeah. But I just want to, before that's like, if you're getting extraneous information that is not there, that is why. So she got, like, A's, and she's like, remember you said you would get me something?
Give me anything I want.
Yeah. And she chooses a fucking trip to Antarctica.
Which is hysterical.
Like a big-ass nerd.
I was like the nerd that she probably is.
Yeah, the nerd that she 100% is.
Yes. But when I was watching that, and then they were, like, Antarctica and Cate Blanchett's character, Bernadette, obviously.
Yeah.
Is, like, you know, ponies would be so much easier and nicer and all this other stuff and less cold or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is literally the opening to the, like, next Disney family film where it's, like, instead of, like, think of it as we bought a zoo, except, like, family trip to Antarctica.
It's like, what is it, college road trip or something?
Yeah.
It's like Antarctica road trip.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I was like, oh my gosh, if, like, you cut it right here, you could change the
entire film
and make it like we bought Antarctica pretty much.
I just put down like a down payment of like $3 trillion and I bought Antarctica.
It's fine, it's very cool. I'm sure people don't want that much for it. But I was just like, wow, you could really just go with that and
just go.
Honestly, somebody take this and run with it.
Honestly, but
Disney
we deserve credit for that though. Story by
right.
Marianne and Kelsey.
I would like royalties.
Yeah, please
thank
and thank
much.
You.
But yeah, I feel like Disney will be making this in the next 4 years.
Absolutely, it would be either penguins and then it's like addendum. We bought Antarctica because Disney has the money now.
It's true.
It's true.
Disney could buy Antarctica.
They 100% could buy Antarctica.
All right, I don't want to think about that anymore.
They can turn it into a fucking theme park.
Fuck. All right. I hate
anyway.
Capitalism. Okay.
Mood.
All right. I'm going to move on.
All right. Yeah, she has, like, big dreams.
This little girl?
To go to fucking Antarctica.
I mean, what other eighth grader doesn't want to go to Antarctica?
Every single fucking eighth grader in the goddamn world.
Except for probably, like, one or two other nerds.
Like, probably, like, 3% of people. Which is still, like, probably, like, 77,000 people, granted.
I would say less than 3% of people want to go to Antarctica.
0.2%.
I like that better. That's probably much better.
If there are 1 trillion people in this world, that would be, like, 3%, which is literally, like, a million people being like, yeah, I want to go to Antarctica. Because they're weird. We love you guys.
And everybody that's been to Antarctica.
Love you. Hope you didn't trash the place.
Like you trashed Mount Everest. I hope you had a great time and a great experience.
Anyways, moving on.
Moving right along.
Say so, dude.
Really, I mean, my notes are very, there's nothing in this trailer.
Yeah.
This trailer is very short.
It's very short, and I'm surprised it's not labeled as a teaser trailer, honestly.
Right.
So I mean,
really what you get out of it is you get, like, that scene, and then you get a little bit about Bernadette, and they're like, she's so great at her job,
and
and then they're like, what could go missing?
And then
Bernadette! And I'm like, oh my god.
It's a Disney film.
Stop it. It is like is this made by Disney?
No, it's not. I think it's Anna Perina Productions, but the book is very, light. It is very,
okay.
I mean, there's really deep things going on in the book. Like, this trailer did not show any of the emotional journey that Bernadette goes on.
Because it's not showing anything at all.
Yeah. I mean, it just shows, like, more, like, family antics, honestly.
Yeah, because they just show this, and then they show,
but
like them
really
trying to, like,
what
find
the book's
her.
About.
And then she's not there, and then they have, like, 20 seconds left on this trailer.
Right.
And you see pretty much nothing happening, and then it's like, where'd you go, Bernadette? The end.
Yeah, and it kind of, like, creeps in when the daughter's talking to Bernadette about how, you know, she's like, I don't think you really want to go. It's, like, really stupid and childish, and even though she's, like, doing this big thing for the first graders.
Right.
So I feel like you kind of get an idea, excuse me, of who Bernadette is just from that.
Yeah.
Being like, okay, so she's this parent, but she, like, she knows her daughter is smart, but she doesn't want to, like, feed into that narrative of, like, a helicopter mom, almost.
Yeah, and I couldn't pick up if the girl was saying you wouldn't want to go, it's stupid, because her mom was going to think it's, like, below her, kind of, to go, or below the daughter to be doing it. I also have no background
right.
on her character or anything else, so that's how it was coming
right.
out to me, and
no,
I was like,
I understand.
Oh, so she's that kind of mom that's not as,
like, in
not,
tune.
And
right.
not as involved, maybe.
Yeah, and that's
how I was
yeah.
reading it.
And that's very accurate.
Okay.
I think there's also, it's like, I think the mom just thinks it's, like, not that the daughter thinks it's stupid, it's just the idea of watching, like, one-year-old, like, five-year-old, like, do a play is stupid because she has better things to do.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to see her daughter, not so much see her daughter do it, but she just has better things to do. The book, what I find why the book is significant, and I feel like it's a good book to read, because it deals a lot with parents of this age and the working parent, and how the working parent gets so involved in their work and kind of forgets about their own well-being and what's right in front of them as well. And I feel like it's a really good book to understand family dynamics as well. Even, I mean, I understand, like, it's about, like, a rich, white, upper-class family, but it's interesting to understand the dynamic of the rich, white, upper-class family and, like, how they're really not connected and how, like, that is a very straining point on everyone. You know what I mean? They focus a lot on the daughter in the book a little bit more because it goes with Bernadette's perspective, and I think if my memory serves me correct, the daughter's perspective as well. So it really, the book does a really, really good job with understanding what is going on in a whole, but also there's a whole crime subplot that goes
on. Yeah,
which
they don't even really
no
touch. So all of this trailer does is really gives you pretty much nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you get that Bernadette has gone missing, which you can get from the title. Like,
you
don't
where'd you
need
go, Bernadette? It's
that.
Like, yeah.
So, like, my feelings is that I'm interested.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's happening.
They, like, grab you, but, and like, they don't grab you enough.
So, if it wasn't so short, it would have fallen into that, like, very, what we're seeing as
yeah.
a very big trend is
like
in this, like, first, in this, like, first trailer trend where
yeah.
you're really getting nothing out of the first trailer, and perhaps the second one has a lot more. I haven't watched the second trailer,
yeah.
Which I think was fine because it, like, really
it keeps
it's
your
just
interest.
Showing
right.
what's happening. And it's almost, it's like the opposite of The Kitchen, where The Kitchen's trailer felt really long,
like,
because of all the exposition,
right.
and this had
no
nothing,
exposition at all.
So it felt way too short.
Right.
And, like, I wish, like, it needs to give you a little bit more in this trailer.
Right.
Like, it doesn't give you enough to hook you.
Right.
Or to really get you invested, and that's how I felt. I was like, I wish I knew more so that I could make predictions or be wondering about what's happening, but because they didn't give it give me enough, I don't really have anything to go
right.
off of, so I'm not invested or willing to be invested.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if they kind of, I feel like what they did is that they, because this is more of a character piece than it is more so a film and, like, about the plot itself,
right.
it's about Bernadette. Like, the whole thing, it's like the dude, like, what's it called? The Big Lebowski. Like, no one really, like, remembers what the plot of The Big Lebowski is. They just remember Jeff Bridges going around into, like, a bathroom going, like, hey, man, like, what's up? Like, it's a character piece.
Yeah.
So I think that if, A, we look at from that perspective, because the first trailer is all about the characters, which we're automatically being introduced to the main players of this whole story. And in the second, so I did watch the second trailer because I was a little confused. I was like, did I just watch a teaser? Like, did I like put out the wrong trailer for the episode? I wasn't sure. So I watched it. And this has so much plot, and it actually...
So it is kind of similar to what we've
been saying. It actually ruins a lot of the big major, like, plot points. Like, they don't hold back. And I'm like, wow, they pretty much just, like...
Who did this?
Spoiled the whole film, essentially. Nice. Well, they didn't spoil it. The whole, like, twist at the end is, like, kind of not explained. But, would you like to hear about, like, really what it's about? Or do you want to, like, I mean, would you see, I mean, are you finished with your notes? I don't want to
The only thing I was going to say was that, like, this was an already short trailer, and they were cutting it with so much writing on the screen. I was like, that was, like, half of your time.
That was literally, like, the trailer was probably, like, a solid minute.
Yeah, without the writing, it's about a minute.
Yeah.
And that's so short.
And that's incredibly short, especially if you're calling your official first trailer. And I think maybe it was
they mislabeled it.
I think they either mislabeled it or they didn't understand the trailer itself. They were just like, oh, just call it a first trailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because if it was read as a teaser, it would have been perfect. Like, that made sense to be like a teaser. But the second one reveals so much plot, and I feel like it could not be a first trailer. Because it says it's like, oh, this happens, and then this happens, and then, oh, we learn actually who Bernadette is and what happened to her.
And you're like, what the
fuck? You're like, this like is like 3/4 of the way in we learned
about
this shit.
This is the film.
This is
That's similar to what we were seeing in the 90s.
Yeah.
We've done some of our flashback ones where we're really seeing that. You were like, dude, you're showing the whole movie.
Like, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, do you think, before you talk about the second trailer, we want to do our question.
Yeah, I feel like, because we're talking about the first trailer, obviously. So based on this first trailer alone, would you go see this film in theaters, Netflix?
I would probably wait until Netflix.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, you're giving me an idea of a movie, but nothing... Like, you're giving me, like, the title and, like, the intro to some characters, but not even a full intro.
Right, you're just giving glimpses and...
Yeah.
Like,
I'm not getting enough to make me interested, and it's like, if there was more, maybe I would be.
I agree. I definitely would see this on Netflix as well, just because the trailer reminds me of a Netflix trailer, being like, okay, so you're just going to give me, like, 20 seconds of what's going on,
right.
And then you're going to automatically play it.
Yeah. And my other, like, main feeling was this from this was, like, I really want to like it. But I don't from this trailer.
Right.
Like,
I completely get it. Because the fact that if you were shown more information, but also kind of, like, if they held it back just a smidgen in the second one, like,
just
they
like
would...
Combined.
They just, like, the kitchen. Like,
mm-hmm.
If they just combined or re-edited it just a smidgen, I feel like it would be such a good trailer to, like, finally, like, understand what's going on. You understood the characters' motivations, but you also kind of were, like...
Didn't give them...
The whole thing
away.
Exactly. So, spoiler warning, I guess.
I wouldn't give out spoilers.
Because
just because it hasn't even hit theaters.
Right. But I might be explaining some of the plot of the book, though.
I wouldn't. Then I probably wouldn't.
Okay.
Just because
it's the trailer's already there.
No, that's true.
But I'll try and hold back as much information as possible.
I would just give, like, a little bit. Just give, like, a little bit of an idea.
Okay.
Like, give how you would explain
the book okay.
Without giving things away.
Oh, okay. So,
I think that's a better way to approach it.
So, the trailer, the second trailer is all about really, like, the motivation, I guess, behind as to why she goes missing.
That'd be great to know.
Right? One would think. You know, but you also get a little bit of her background as, like, who she is as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And to understand, you know, the family dynamic, you know, and it's, like, and it kind of, like, it goes into this thing of literal escapism, where, you know, you find yourself in these situations in life where you just need to just go. You just need to get out and kind of not so much like fugue state, but like kind of just being like, I'm fucking done. Like, peace out. I'm going to grab my bag. I'm just going to fucking leave in terms of that. And I feel like if that was kind of placed into the character study type trailer of the first one, I think it would have been a little bit more complete and understanding.
Yes.
Because that's really what the book is about. It's about really finding yourself when there's so much shit going on.
Yeah. And I feel like the first trailer gave us this, like, very light layer of who these people were.
Yeah.
But if they gave us more as to, like, motivation, so we really got more in that idea, we wouldn't have really needed a lot of plot.
Right, you find
we
out...
We just need a little bit.
Yeah, you find out that Kristen Wiig is actually, like, the... kind of, like, the enemy, quote-unquote, of Bernadette. And you don't get that. I mean, you kind of get it, but you don't really get it until, like, the second trailer.
Oh, yeah. You got nothing.
You got nothing.
She said, like, a few words.
Yeah.
That's all they showed. You know what I mean? Like, you got nothing about, like, how other characters relate to these characters outside of the main three.
It was weird. But still would watch it on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I read the book.
I feel like
the
film could be great, but from this trailer, like,
you
have no idea.
You were just like, and what now?
Right. You were like... So you've got some characters? Tell
Great.
Me more.
Give me more.
Right.
But does that then make it a good trailer because of the fact that we want more?
But it's not pushing me to go see it.
True.
And that's the issue.
Very true.
Is that if it's not giving me enough to really want to see it, that's the line, right?
Yeah.
Because I was thinking that too. I was like, I want to know, but because I have nothing to go on, I'm not invested to go actually.
You're just like,
find
whatever.
More.
It's like, cool.
I'm just like, oh, whatever. Fine.
Like, I would like expect.
I'm like, whatever, I don't care.
I would expect to see this trailer, like the first one, like in between, like watching like The Office on Comedy Central. Like, it's just, it feels like just like a flash.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really feel like anything's significant.
Right. Whereas if they gave a little bit more so that people could really be like, oh, now that I'm kind of interested in the character's motivations for doing this. What actually happened, and
absolutely.
I would love to see this.
I feel like this trailer falls into the category of bad trailers for possibly good movies.
Right.
You know, then I think that this could be a really crippling state to understand. It's like, hey, you're not
this
doing,
could really
this could hurt
how this movie goes.
Exactly. Or how it, like, it does, like, well in
yeah.
the box office.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to pay to see it because your trailer
sucks. Exactly. I mean... It's 90% of the reason why people go to movies is because they see the goddamn trailers.
Right.
It's the whole point of a podcast, people.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on.
I mean, luckily that's based off the book, so you'll
right.
draw
so you
in
have
the
that,
readers.
You have that.
You have that base, like, audience, but otherwise you're not drawing any new people. And
right.
if you're not drawing any new people,
you're
then
not
there's
gonna...
no need to have made this movie,
I
almost.
Think,
yeah. It's like, you're not going to... You're probably... not going to profit off of this movie if you're only drawing an audience that already exists.
That's going to hurt, especially, like, if you want to create, like, a fan base or whatever
right.
around this film. It's going to hurt the marketing.
It is.
And it's going to hurt the film.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's take a deep, big, deep breath. All right.
All right.
Discussion.
That was a really good discussion.
Do you want to do a little business?
Yeah.
Oh my God, let's do some business. All right, so if you want to continue to listen to us blabber on about two trailers every other week, you can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, or Overcast.
And we're working on Google Play because we have heard from Android users that it's difficult when you
yes.
don't have very good access to other ways to find us. So we are working on that. It's my summer goal. This is Marianne talking. I am going to work on it, I promise.
We are working on Google Play, we promise. You can rate and subscribe in iTunes.
Because that makes us easier to find for
exactly.
other people.
Rate us 5 stars if you like it. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to reach out to us on social media, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Too Many Trailers. That's TWO Many Trailers. You can always feel free to tweet at us, post, like our posts.
Like our Instagram stuff. We
comment, whatever.
Post memes from time to time.
Sometimes I post really funny Florida headlines.
Great posts. If you have more deeper thoughts about the kitchen, like if you want to explain to us like the purpose behind the comic book, or if you want to talk to us about Where'd You Go, Bernadette,
yeah.
and your feelings on the first trailer, feel free to email us at TooManyTrailers@gmail.com. That's TWOManyTrailers@gmail.com. Anything else for today?
I don't think so, Kelsey.
Right, okay. So, before we leave, I'm just letting you know, don't judge movies by their trailers. Leave that up to us. Have a great whenever. Bye.
Bye.